As we heard on the clip, it's important to get involved in a small group. We've talked largely about this issue of us just going in the right direction in terms of building family, getting involved in the village, as we talked last week, and a few weeks ago, just the whole of last year, really talking about how to connect in small groups, to be involved in family groups. And it's vital that you become part of the body of Christ. Amen? But here's the question. Can you be involved by just standing by and watching? Can you be involved by just shouting the loudest on the sidelines? Can you be involved by just suggesting ideas but never doing anything? It can happen. It cannot happen. So today we're going to talk about getting involved part two, because we began with that as the year began. And getting involved is not just the good idea of I go to family group and sit there and they talk and I leave, but I participate in what's going on. Now, getting involved is good to get to a music group, to get to an AV, to get to Kids Kingdom, to get to many other things, security, to get to just serving, ushering, and all that kind of stuff. But it's beyond the activity. It's giving your heart to what God wants you to do. And too many people give their body, but not their heart. Give their hands, but not their heart. You can be here, but your soul is somewhere else. You're gone. I ask that you come and be with us. Be present as we talk about this. Being present and getting involved. It's important to get involved in this so that we can see what God can do with us. And when you get involved, it begins to transform you. Look at what happened here. We're going to stay with Nehemiah. God is at work. Nehemiah chapter 2, 18. Then I told them about how the gracious hand of God had been on me and about my conversation with the king. They replied at once, "Yes, let's rebuild the wall." So they began the good work. How is it that he began to tell them about how God has been with him? He told them the story of how he prayed after he had heard the story from Jerusalem and how the wall was down. And then he prayed and fasted and went to the king and spoke to the king. In fact, the visual aspect of Nehemiah, the king just looked at him and said, "What troubles you?" And then he said, "How can I not be sad where I come from lies in ruins?" He spoke words that have put him to death. Instead, God turned that around and said, "What? I can help you. What do you need?" That happens. That was not a coincidence. That happened because when he heard what was going on in Jerusalem, he fasted, he prayed, he connected to that truth. That truth is what then brought him to a level of being able to speak that truth to a king who could see clearly that this man was troubled for the right reason, not a wrong reason. And then we see that he carries that story and tells that story to the men in Jerusalem, and all they can tell him is, "Let us rebuild." Because they clearly can see the grace of God was on this man. So I have a question. Do you feel the grace of God in your life? It's not that it's not there. Do you feel the grace of God? As you see here, it says God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work. That God is always doing that. The question is, do we experience that? That happens. We don't experience the grace of God when we are not involved and connected to Him. We don't experience it. We're there, but we're not totally connecting to what's going on, and we're not getting involved, so we never experience the abundant grace of God. And so what happens is, it's an illusion, because you're there, God is working with some people, but for some reason it's not working with me, but you're not involved. You checked out. Though you come to the game, you checked out. Though you come to worship, you checked out spiritually. Though you come to hear God's word, you checked your heart out. And you're not involved. You're not connecting to what God is saying. And so that is why he could say that story to this man, and they would quickly connect to that reality and says, yes, let's go and make it happen. Let's go and build. God will take care of the obstacles. One of the reasons we do not get involved totally is the fear of what if. We have many what if. I want to try this. What if I don't succeed? I want to be a Christian. What if I cannot be faithful? I want to change my marriage. What if I try and it goes back to what it used to be? I want to be pure. What if I do not succeed? What's the point? I've failed so many times. What if, what if, what if? And that stops you from experiencing God because you focus on the obstacles and not what God can do. So we stay in the status quo. 2018, you want to stay in the status quo. Why? Because you do not want to deal with it. Don't want to give that to God. Here's what the scriptures say. But when Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem, the Arab, heard about our plan, they scoffed contemptuously. What are you doing? Are you rebelling against the king? They asked. I replied, this is Nehemiah saying, the God of heaven will help us succeed. We, his servants, will start rebuilding this wall. But you have no share, legal right, or historic claim in Jerusalem. If you understand the context of it was, Sanballat was afraid of losing a business, period. So he was afraid if this guy got strong, I may lose the business connections. But he opposes the spiritual direction of it. But my focus this morning is how Nehemiah responded. I replied, the God of heaven will help us succeed. He didn't focus on Sanballat and Tobiah. He says, my God of heaven is going to help us succeed. We're his servants. He understood his position and God's role. He figured, I simply need to obey God. But God's going to do this thing. It's not for me. I am a servant. Too many of us have switched those roles. We're no longer servants. We become the Lord ourselves. And so the way we think about life is we play God. We try to avoid all risk. Oh no, we take the risk of God. We take the risk of putting ourselves in the hands of God. You know, here's the challenging part. When you get used to being God, it's hard to let go. It's really hard to let go. And anything I say, it's easy for you to say, you don't understand, Steve. I don't. But the God of heaven understands your situation 10 times than you can ever understand yourself. Are you kidding me? Your story God can fix any day, but not me. I can pray for you, though. I can validate. I can sit with you, but God can fix it. I'm a servant. I know my role. I'm not God. I'm a servant. I step right back there. What have you figured your role of being a servant of God? When you engage with God, you don't try to control God. You're a servant of God. You submit to God. You let God lead you. You let God determine what direction you're going. That's when you begin to experience the fulfilling riches of the Spirit of God just transforming your life. And Nehemiah understood this pretty good. He says, you know what? I'm a servant. We'll start rebuilding this wall, but you have no share in all that. And he just kept going. I believe that many of us need to put our marriages before God and become servants so that God may heal those marriages and bring them to where it needs to be. I believe that many of us are single people. We need to put our purity before God, and God will make it happen because we submit to God's will. Amen? I believe that as campus people, we need to put our education before God, not be stressed out, come up with the right goals and live properly, and God will bring about victory. Amen? I believe as children, we need to trust that God will straighten our parents if they are not behaving themselves. Amen? That God will work that out with them. I believe as parents, we need to put our children before God, and God will straighten those children out, and we need to be servants. Amen? I believe that we need to not be overcome and beaten down by life, because our God is the God of everything. Well, the Christians believed in God, but they did not believe in God deep enough to understand that He can transform their lives. They only believed in God to the extent that they were in control. That was the problem. They had a caveat, a ceiling for themselves. They try to control God by how they operated. Oh no, you've got to get out of the way. That's a hard thing to do, to get out of the way and let God do it. That doesn't mean you don't play your role, but it means you know where you sit. You're a servant. And God does His thing. He'll take care of the obstacles. You navigate that. God wants us to be a part of the rebuilding of the wall. In the first class of this, is I spoke about the walls being that you can lose your self-control, that the devil can come to you. Sins can just attack you left, right, top, down, everywhere. It's just front, back, everything comes. Because when the walls are down in a city, in the Old Testament, then it was easy for people to attack. That your mind can take charge of you so much that your mind goes everywhere. You're so scared, anxious about everything. You cannot just wait on God. You have no control. To the point where you're not sleeping at night. It's because the walls are broken and they need to be rebuilt. And God wants you to be a part of that wall being rebuilt. That's your personal life. But we also have to rebuild the family groups and make sure that the walls are in there. We got to build our families and this village that we're talking about. Next to him, repairs were made by a group of Levites walking under the supervision of Rehum, son of Banani. Then came Hashabiah, the leader of half of the district of Keliah. I'm not a man from that neighborhood, but I'll try. Who supervised the building of all the wall on behalf of his own district. Next down to the line were the countrymen led by Binui, son of Henadad, the leader of other half district of Kela. Here's the issue. If you read the whole chapter, section by section, there is people doing work and someone walking with them. In other words, if we could extrapolate that and bring that to our place today, every family group has people walking with it and trying to build something. We're trying to build the family of God, the Acts 2 church that is safe, authentic, that is growing, that shows care, that shows help. That there must be, that wall is your neighborhood, a place that God has placed you, Acts 17:24, that you may find Him. That's why you're there. That wall is you to be in that place so that you can walk with the people that God puts in your life, the people you meet at work, at home. It's not an accident. They are there so that you may meet God. You are here this morning, not because it's an accident, because God ordered that we may cross the path together. And that way, find God. The family group is such a vital tool of getting involved. Not just going there, but contributing. And walking through. I know we're doing the Safe People book, for example. First of all, I want to say, don't be in a hurry to finish Safe People. Some of us are, we are chapter 4, others chapter 5, others 9, others 10. Make the changes. Don't worry about the finishing. We'll get to it, amen? Make the changes. And if you already finished, what changes have you made? You can revisit that and make sure there's change. But the driving force is that they were in family groups. We've got to walk through that. And out of that, we can get involved in these other auxiliary ministries of worshiping and other aspects of the congregation. But we've got to get involved in the family groups. When it meets, you need to be there. I know on Wednesday we had snow, so we had a good excuse to be in the blankets and not show up. But well, I hope you had some prayer going on in the house. But we've got to connect to that family group. It works. If you don't have a family group, it's not healthy. Do you go to a family group? If you don't have one, find one today. Talk to me, I can help you. Or talk to one of the elders or the staff people, they will help you. Find a family group. Find a place you can connect. We are the vine. We got to connect. We got to connect in this aspect. Does that make sense? Here's the truth. The reason we don't connect is fear. So we don't trust God enough. Fear from historical hearts. I pray that God can bring about healing in your life, and then you can start connecting. Connecting is with God first and then with people. You need both. You cannot just do, I know God. What about people? If you know God, your testimony of how you know God, as John says, then is how you love the people you can see. If you cannot say you love God, but you have no relationships with people. Yes, people are not perfect, but that is why we need each other to start healing. Does that make sense? That's where we grow and change. Don't run away. Become part of the solution. Being part of the solution is to pray and play your part. Sanballat was very angry when he landed. We were rebuilding the wall. He flew into a rage and mocked the Jews. It's not going well for Sanballat. Saying in front of his friends and the Samaritan army officer, what does this bunch of poor, feeble Jews think they are doing? Do they think they can build the wall in a single day by just offering a few sacrifices? Do they actually think they can make something of stones from rubbish, heap, and charred ones of that? Tobiah, the Ammonite, who was standing beside him, remarked that stone wall would collapse if even a fox walked along the top of it. Sometimes we're these people. We're Sanballat, we're Tobiah. We devalue every effort that God is trying to do. We make it difficult for family groups to function. We make it difficult for the congregation to go forward. We become independent. We just do our own thing. And we devalue because our focus is on us. These guys had a different program. Their focus was on them, their business that was going to go down. And they were just afraid. It doesn't say they lost the business. See, if you put the focus on you, you don't do well. Put the focus on God. That's what you need to do. Put your focus on God, the author and perfecter of our faith. If you put the focus on you, you're going to have a hard time moving anywhere. And sometimes all we do is we, as I call them, boo leaders. We just boo everything that is trying to go in the right direction. You're not a cheerleader, you're a boo leader. The boo leader is everything is boo, boo. Really? Come on, get on some cheering. Let's get some work going in the right direction. Church, we need to move away from sin management, just sin management, to taking on the image of Jesus Christ. That is what is needed to win the world. That is what is needed to help your neighbor to come to Christ. It's not just about I'm right, you're wrong. It's how are you more like Jesus Christ? All they did here was what was wrong, what was wrong, what's wrong. That doesn't help. We got to move away from that and become more like Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? And so what happens, Nehemiah, I like how he operates. Then I prayed, here is our God, for we are being mocked by the scoffing, but we are being mocked. May their scoffing fall back on their own heads, and may they themselves become captive in a foreign land. What did he do? He didn't get down to the pros and cons, what's right, what's wrong. He got down to prayer. We get into the point, we want to just argue what's right and wrong. No. Pray about stuff. Get into prayer mode. He began to pray honestly right there. God, heal them. Let's not focus on the side shows. Focus on God. I don't know what's going on in your life, but are you focusing on God? Are you praying for God to bring about resolution, clarity, to show you where you need to go? Too many people are not praying. We think way too much. We overthink everything. Pray about it. Pray about it and let God show you where you need to go. Don't just overthink about it. Yes, you need to think, but sometimes we're in overthink mode. Pray about it and let God make that clear for you. See, if you prayed about stuff, it's lighter because God is on the throne. He's going to help you. If you overthink about it, it's stressful and you go nowhere with that. God wants us to rebuild and to be connected with God. If you want to share about, if you want to share your faith, pray about it, and God will show you the open soul. Does that make sense? If you put it on your own, if you try to do that on your own, it's scary. You're afraid. But when God puts it on your heart, you're going to talk about it like nobody's business. Does that make sense? We've got to pray about this. So he just prayed and says, we're going to rebuild. Whatever is in your life, pray about it and see how God will sort that out. You see, when you pray about things, they become smaller. When you don't pray about things, they become bigger. Because you're just thinking. The more you think, the bigger they become. The more you pray, the more they become smaller. Same problem. What changed? You went to God, who begins to fix that stuff. And that's what we need to get right. There's a lot of stuff that can hold you back, but pray about it every day. Get good relationships that you talk about these things and how God is walking in that area. You'll be amazed how that changes. So he just prayed, and God will take care of that. Never doubt the power of prayer. Church, I want to hop a little bit on prayer here for a moment. Many of us don't connect to prayer. Not because prayer is useless. It's how we do it. Mark chapter 1 says that Jesus woke up very early in the morning to go to a solitary place to pray. When you wake up, where do you go? I'm not asking you to answer me, but where do you go? Kitchen? Bathroom? Do you pray? I pray in the car, and you're dodging all the ice and all this stuff. How are you going to pray? People are cutting you off, and the Holy Spirit may leave you for a minute. The traffic is not moving. The Holy Spirit may not be with you for a minute. What's... The Bible says they woke up early in the morning before daybreak. It's what was the first century? We're too busy. Well, you're too busy. You need to slow down. How do you do that? Well, I have some ideas. Instead of sleeping at midnight, why don't you go to bed at 10? I got to watch that program. You will not die if you don't watch that program. You can record that stuff. You can record that stuff. You can record that stuff and watch it on Saturday morning. Amen. Oh, I got to see it live. I don't want anyone to discuss about it. Well, who is Lord now? Is that the game or is it Jesus? What's happening around here? We got to start asking questions. See what's going on? Go to bed early and wake up early and pray. In a quiet place. In a quiet place. You need to make that effort to wake up 5. Well, I get groggy when I wake up 5. You may need some coffee during the day, but wake up in the morning. If we learned to go to a quiet place, the natural consequence of that is, one, because of how quiet it is, we have no choice but to ask ourselves, why are we here? If we ask ourselves our question, why are we here, is to talk to God, then it leads us to wanting, desiring to hear God's voice. Then we'll pray, meditate, and connect. Some of us are afraid of anything emotional. Because in our culture, emotional is not strong. Oh no, emotion is what God gives you to help you connect with Him. God has emotions. It's not a bad thing. It's just, no, it's good to have emotion, to have empathy, to feel for people, to connect. It's good. That's why we cry. We let go. It's emotion. I hear people saying, sorry, I'm crying. I said, it's okay. If you don't know how to cry, you don't know how to laugh. What's wrong with you? Go ahead and cry. I like to feel deeply, a place of experience. You need to learn to connect with God like that. Take your time. I'm not saying it will happen overnight, but start going there in the morning. Amen? We've got to pray. Never doubt the power of prayer. My wife taught me that. I'd be reasoning and like, what? She says, "Hon, I'm going to pray about it." Then I'd be like, "You don't understand. Wait, you're going to pray until..." I said, "What?" Months later, she says, "You know, you remember everything we put in the jar? Everything we prayed about happened. And I didn't have an answer. I didn't have a smart answer, a comeback answer to say, well..." I kept quiet and said, "You know, I think, yeah, my dear wife understands the power of God than I do. I may think I'm the preacher, but that lady understands something." I want us to really not underestimate prayer in this church. We've got to go to God in prayer. Whatever it is, we've got to go to God in prayer and get out there with deep conviction, and God will sort that out. Do not ignore their guilt. Do not blot out their sins, for they have provoked you to anger here in front of the builders. At last, the wall was completed to half its height around the entire city, for the people had walked with enthusiasm. Even though they were saying all that, he was praying and moving on, and it was going on. You see what's going on here? But when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabs, Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the work was going ahead and that the gaps in the wall of Jerusalem were being repaired, they were furious. They didn't pray. They just got angry and angry and angry. Have you noticed how many times they get angry? If you're getting angry a lot, check your connection with God. If you're getting angry a lot, and some of us are angry quietly. We are angry. You're not saying anything, but you are angry. If we could open up your insides, we would be like, "Oh my goodness, run away." And some of us are boisterous angry. We're shouting, we're saying things and all that stuff. Either way, check why you're getting angry a lot. That was Sanballat and Tobiah. The Bible says, they all made plans to come and fight against Jerusalem. But what? Verse 9. But we prayed to our God and guarded the city day and night to protect ourselves. They prayed to God. They guarded the city day and night. But they prayed. They didn't rely on just guarding. Guarding was a good thing to do. But that was not where they went to fast. They prayed first. So there are things to be done, but you start with prayer. Prayer is the way, the place you start first before you hit the streets. So the idea that I'll pray later, I'll pray what even God understands, you don't understand it. Start with God. You're not being legalistic by praying in the morning. Oh, well, that's legalistic. Hold on. Do you eat every morning? That's legalistic. Why are you eating? Because by midday, if you're not eating, you'll be out of loop and all kind of crazy stuff will be going on. Similarly, if you don't pray in the morning, that's what happens. We've got to get here. This is a basic truth that drives a Christian life and changes the world. Anything. They prayed, moved on, and did what they needed to do. So pray and get involved. Pray and get involved, and God will show you what you need to do. God will frustrate the enemy. Then the people of Judah began to complain. The workers are getting tired, and there is no much rubble to be moved. We will never be able to build the wall by themselves. You get discouraged sometimes, right? They did get discouraged. Sometimes just life is throwing things at you. They did get discouraged. Meanwhile, our enemies were saying, before they know what's happening, we'll be swept down on them and kill them and end their work. The Jews who lived near the enemy came and told us again and again, they will come from all directions and attack us. So I placed armed guards behind the lowest parts of the wall in the exposed area. I stationed the people to stand guard by families armed with swords, spears, and bows. So the point is, even though we're praying, faith without deeds is dead. We have to do our part. If we just pray and sit at home, something is wrong. We've got to do our part. Do what we need to do. as God is walking. Does that make sense? Then as I looked over the situation, I called together the nobles and the rest of the people and say to them, don't be afraid of the enemy. Remember the Lord, who is great and great and glorious, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. Don't forget what God has done for you already. If you are a father, fight for these things. If you are a mother, fight for these things. If you are a grandfather, fight for these things, for your children and children and your grandchildren. And if you're single, fight for these things, because one day you'll become a grandfather or mother. It's coming. Believe me. That day is coming. Fight for these things. When our enemies heard that we knew of their plans and that God had frustrated them, we all returned to our work on the wall. Don't focus on the problem. Return to what God wants you to do. I believe with all my heart that when we lose our focus on God, the devil has victory. We've got to go back to God. Focus on God. Do what God wants us to do. That is a connection place. That's not a routine place. A routine place is empty. A connection place is fulfilling. So don't confuse the two, your routine and connection. Sometimes we ramp up with routine, but we feel empty. We got to come to a place where we're hearing God's voice, directed by God. In finishing, the challenges ahead. As I talk about this, the choir will start moving up front so that we can transition smoothly and they'll come along with us. Challenges ahead. I want to say this. Whether you like it or not, there will be challenges in life. That's just going to be the case. Challenges are going to be part of our lives. So the idea that because I'm connected to God, I'm not going to have challenges. Oh, no, you'll have them. But what will you do? Yes, challenges ahead, but God will overcome them. I don't know what tomorrow brings, but one thing I know, my God, our God, will overcome them. Amen? One thing I know, that you may begin to doubt even just after you leave here. Was that true? What I heard, is that true? I tell you something. Doubts may rise, but God will overcome. Mistakes may happen. I make mistakes. You make mistakes. Mistakes may happen. But tell you what, God will overcome. Amen? God bless you.